As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
So because of that, he says in verse 16, so now, because of what Jesus has done, now let no one judge you in food. So go ahead and eat whatever you want to eat. It might get you to see Jesus sooner, but you can still do it. Okay? You still do it. Drink whatever you want to drink. Regarding a festival, all the feasts that we'll get into when we get to chapter 23, I believe it is, in Exodus. And the new moon or Sabbaths, all those things, they're a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. I don't need to do any of those festivals anymore. I don't need to check when the new moon is. I don't need to understand when the Sabbath begins and all that. I don't need to do that. Why? Because it all pointed to Jesus. That's why. And now that Jesus come, I find my freedom in him. No longer all these rules of the law of Moses. Festivals are yearly Sabbaths. New moon, monthly Sabbaths. Sabbaths, weekly Sabbaths. All these point to Christ. The reality, the substance is in a person now. Go to Galatians chapter 4, just over here to the left a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, we read this in verse 9. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Paul's saying, I'm afraid for you, that you're going back to Judaism. You're going back to the law of Moses. You're going back there when all those things pointed to Christ. And you said that you have received Christ. If you've received Christ, why are you going back and doing those things? It never ceases to amaze me. I love the Messianic movement. I love the Messianic Jews. I love them. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ and things like that. And so I understand when you're a Jew and you come to know Jesus and there's still some a lot of Jewishness that you find in the Word and in Christ and things like that. But when I have a Gentile that starts going to the Messianic church, and the next thing I know is they're wearing the prayer shawl and they're starting to do all the feasts and festivals again, I'm going, what are you doing? You don't need to do those things anymore. I have no problem doing a Passover meal, a Seder meal, and things like that, so you can see Jesus in that meal, okay? I have no problem going back at the old festivals and feasts and looking at them and how we see Jesus in that. But to celebrate it, that's silly. We celebrate the person that those things pointed to. I've used this before. But it's kind of like if I have my family here at church, okay, and yet you want to see pictures of my family. And I go, why do you want to see pictures? They're right over there. Why do you want to see pictures of them? They're right over there. Why do you want to do this feast that points to the person of Jesus? And he's here right now. Go to him. This is what's being said here. Paul's saying you're going back to this. So when Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know who my Sabbath is now? You know who I rest in now? I rest in a person, and his name is Jesus. That's who this points to, is the person of Jesus. Well, Dave, it seems like from the very beginning, the church started to meet on Sunday morning. Why did they do that? Well, because it was Sunday morning, the first day of the week, that the disciples discovered what? The tomb was what? Empty. It was on that first day of the week that Jesus shows up and points to himself, and the angels were there before saying, he is risen. He was to rise on the third day. And that was the first day of the week. We see here that Mary, on the morning of the resurrection, Matthew 28:8 and John 20, Mark 16:9 says, "Now when he arose early on the first day of the week," meaning Jesus, "he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons." Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Second one here, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Mark 16, as well as Luke 24. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day," meaning the day of the resurrection, "to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all these things that had happened. And while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Jesus appeared to them same day that he rose from the dead. Next one, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples that evening of the resurrection. John 20, verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood in the midst, and said to them," boo! No, he didn't do that. Could have. He could, I would have. But I'm not Jesus. He said, "Peace be with you." He didn't knock. All of a sudden, he was just there. All of a sudden, he was just there, you know. First day of the week, continuing on in verse 21, on that same night that he was there, says, "So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Not only did it appear to him time and time again, but that was the day that they received the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the disciples, "I want you to stay, remain here, and guess what? Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit." They've already received the Holy Spirit. But now they're to wait for the power in the way of the sense of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they were to wait. And then in Acts chapter 2, we find out that that comes on the day of Pentecost. Pente means 50. So the 50th day, as we'll see, it lands on the first day of the week. So here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They have been baptized now with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which is the first day of the week, as we will see here in a moment. What does Peter do? He preaches the very first sermon. Verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." And boom, all the way until verse 41, he's preaching and teaching them about Jesus. And then in verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." The church was actually birthed on the first day of the week. Leviticus 23, verse 15. Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks. It says, "And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath," that'd be the first day of the week, "and the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath." Well, the day after the seventh Sabbath is still a day after a Sabbath, which is the first day of the week. And that's when Pentecost was, after 50 days. That's where that comes from. We also have Paul meeting with believers on the first day of the week in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them." These disciples came together on the first day of the week. This is when Paul shows up to speak to them, and he continues his message until midnight. So again, I want to hear absolutely no complaints if I go long. Anyway, I've never gone to midnight. Just want you to know that. We also know that the churches in Galatia met the first day of the week. Here there seems to be a financial commitment that needs to be done. And so in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." What he's saying is that, look, you already get together on the first day of the week, just like I told the churches in Galatia. So when you gather there, put some money aside so when I come, I can take that money and give it to the needs of the saints. Okay. So again, when were they gathering? The Galatian churches were gathering together to worship on the first day of the week. So from Scripture, Jesus was risen on the first day of the week. Jesus appeared to many on the first day of the week. The church was born on Pentecost the first day of the week. They received the Holy Spirit on the first day of the week. They had the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the first day of the week. They broke bread together on the first day of the week. We see financial collection from the church of Galatia that happened on the first day of the week. So, Dave, does that mean the Christian church should always meet on the first day of the week? No! Why? That's the pattern that was set for us. I understand that. And it is a pattern that was set for us. Okay? But Paul tells us this in Romans 14, verse 5. "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it." You can set apart any day of the week to observe it to the Lord. But understand that it is to also be with other believers. Well, Dave, where does it say that? Actually, Jesus said that. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, when Jesus brought them up to Caesarea Philippi and asked them the great question, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter is the one that jumps up and says, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then he goes on to say this verse, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," meaning the confession of his faith that he just said, "I will build my," what does it say? "Church." Huh, first time that word is used in the New Testament. Jesus is going to build his church, "and the gates of Hades," or hell, "shall not prevail against it." The word church is then goes on to be used 73 times in the New Testament. Always means the same thing. The word is in the Greek, church, ekklesia. Ekklesia means religious assembly, congregation of the church. I will build an assembly of people, a congregation that will be called church, ekklesia. The word assembly in the Hebrew in the Old Testament is gahel, which means assembly, congregation, refers to Israel's religious gatherings. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So when the Jews were going to translate the Hebrew into the Greek, and it was Jews who did that. Okay. Scholars, Jewish scholars that also knew Greek. When they translated that word, gahel, which means assembly, religious assembly, they used the word ekklesia. And so what that means is that every time the word assembly is used in the Old Testament, they use the word ekklesia when they translate that into the Greek, both showing that they're equivalent in meaning. And they both mean the gathering of God's people. So when you go to church, it should be corporate worship. where you're with other believers. This is why the Hebrew author would say in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some. There are those who love to say a lot of times, you know, hey, you know, I don't go to church anymore. You know, it's God and I have this understanding. I worship him in my own way. Yeah, and your way is wrong. God is the one that gets to decide how he is to be worshipped, not you. God gets to. And he says you need to be with God's people, which he calls the church. But the church hurt me. I'm sorry about that. I am. Sorry about that. Dave, I even came to Calvary Castle Rock, and when I walked through the doors, I met this person, and they were really rude. Okay, we have those here. Just so you know. Because you know why? Because the church is a hospital. It's where sick people come. And guess what? We have people here who are really sick. Okay? And I want them to continue to come. Because they're going to hear the word of God. God is going to change them. And they're going to get better. But I'm sorry that you ran into somebody who was really, really sick. You probably don't like to go to the hospital, do you? Because when you go to a hospital, there's all those sick people. Where are the people that are well? Not at the hospital. Where are those perfect Christians? Not in the church. Because there is no perfect Christian. And so, yeah, you're going to come here and run into a bitter Betty, an angry Alan. Sorry if your name is Betty. I apologize right now. Or Alan. But we're all in a place in our faith, and we could be really young in our faith, and we still struggle with things, and those things come out. And there hasn't been enough time for God to change us yet. And so you just happen to run into one of them. And to that, I'm sorry. But come on. There's something about the church that when you've been hurt by the church, you never want to set foot in a church again. And you've all been treated poorly, I know, by King Supers. And yet it doesn't keep you from going back there. Because that person who was rude to you is really not a reflection on King Supers. It's just a reflection of their day. And it's the same thing when you come here. I'm sorry if you've gotten hurt. I really am. But come, hear the word of God. Let him heal you because you follow Jesus, not a person. Amen. You follow Jesus, not the minister, not the people that go to that church. You follow Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, know that you've been given a gift, it tells us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all you have to do is read it. You're supposed to use your gift. Where are you supposed to use it? In the church, the ecclesia. So if you're not using it in the ecclesia, guess what? You're being disobedient. And as we went over the parable of the minas, you're the one that hid your minas. And so when Jesus shows up, you're saved. You're going to get no rewards. And he calls you a wicked servant. You're still a servant. But he calls you a wicked servant. Don't let somebody who has hurt you keep you from going to the place that God has created that you know you're supposed to be. It's his church. It's not our church. It's his church. And no, we're not perfect. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. Like I've said, we've gotten to the size now that you can isolate yourself here. You can come and go, come and go. And we don't really know who you are. But if you do that without getting involved, getting with a group of people, women being in the Bible study, men being in the Bible study, being in community group, being with like-minded believers that can keep you accountable, help you grow in your faith. If you're not a part of something like that here, then you're just coming and going. You're just coming and going. You're coming and going. And you're isolating yourself, even here within the church. And it says you rage against all wise judgment. And it goes on and says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but expressing in his own heart. It goes on to say that, hey, you don't care about being accountable. You don't care about, you know, really making relationships and things like that. And by doing that, all you really care about is expressing your own heart. You just want things done your way. And I'm just going to come and go and complain and you know, and criticize how things are done. But you don't get involved and you don't get to know other people. That's why we have all these Bible studies for the women and the men and community groups and things like that and getting involved in ministry and helping out. I mean, you go work in the cafe. The people who work in the cafe, bacon has brought them together. And I'm telling you, that in itself is a ministry. Now, when you go through the lists of sins in the New Testament, you know what you won't find? Sabbath breaking. It's interesting. Mark 7, 21 through 22 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." 13 sins mentioned. Sabbath breaking is not one of them. You go to Romans 1, 29 through 31. 20 sins are mentioned. Not Sabbath breaking. Galatians 5, 19 through 31, 15 sins are mentioned. And guess what? None of them are Sabbath breaking. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, 18 sins mentioned. Not one of them Sabbath breaking. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, 10 sins mentioned. But guess what? No Sabbath breaking is mentioned. As a matter of fact, of the 10 commandments, 9 are reiterated in the New Testament. Worship God only 53 times. No idolatry 20 times. Do not use the Lord's name in vain 2 times. Sabbath 0 times. Honor your father and mother 6 times. Murder 7 times. I kind of wish that was mentioned a little bit more, but anyway. Adultery 12 times. Stealing 6 times. False witness 4 times. Don't covet 9 times. No mention of breaking the Sabbath day. Why? Because your Sabbath, that seventh day, is now in a person. And I personally believe it could be any time. It could be any time. Does it have to be Sunday? No. You might have to work on Sunday. Okay, can you come on Saturday night? Well, I can't. I'm a police officer. I work that shift, you know, for those days. I'm a fireman. I work in, you know, I'm at work at a hospital. I'm a nurse. And okay, you know. And so again, could you come to a Wednesday night? You know, when we get to the new facility, if the Lord should tarry and we get up there, we have already been talking about doing a midweek service again. You know? Yeah, don't be getting on me for taking that away and saying amen, all right? I took it away, all right? Because the Lord told me I was too busy. Okay, but we're thinking of doing it again, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm the one that has to do it. We're thinking of doing a Sunday night service as well. It doesn't mean I have to do it. We have plenty of people here on staff. We have plenty of pastors that can do that. And we're looking at Wednesday night being more of a, hey, I might get up there and teach for like 6 straight Wednesdays of why I'm not a Calvinist. Okay. We could have somebody else go through the book of Galatians. We can have somebody else. And so there's going to be a rotating, we believe, of pastors is going to happen on Wednesday for this reason right here, because you have to work the weekend. God called you to be a police officer. We want you to have a place where you could bring your family for worship. And so that's why we're thinking of doing that again, you know. And like I said, because our Sabbath is now in a person, and that person is Jesus. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. But what it does have to do is that you have to worship with other believers. Let nothing ever
separate us. This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services.
You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship in the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share.
And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.